to make this a profitable time that we might be strengthened in our faith. And I hope that you're a stronger Trinitarian tonight than you were 2 months ago. I hope that you're stronger in the deity of Christ. I hope that you're stronger in the infallibility of the Scriptures. I hope that you know something of how to interpret the Bible. I hope that you know something of what a Christian ought to do when we come into sickness and in need of healing. I hope that you come to how to witness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're turning the coin over. For over a number of weeks now, through the month of March, we've been looking at cults and other religions. Today we're going to turn the light on ourselves. We're going to ask, are we as Free Presbyterians truly reflecting the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And are we possessing those marks of the true church? Today we want to investigate that from beginning to end. We want to look at the marks of the true church, and we want to look at those very distinctives that every Christian should look for in a biblical church. Maybe you're looking for a church at this present time and you're wanting to know how to begin. Well, I want to give you a short list. So if you get paper and pen available, ready, then you can mark down the marks of a true biblical church. And we trust the Lord will minister to your heart today. We have a hymn today, The Wonderful Grace of Jesus by the Whitfield Choir. And this is what it's all about, to tell the story of God's grace. But once we come together as a unified body of people, we need to be united on the gospel. We need to be united on doctrine. We need to be united on the person of the Lord Jesus, on the doctrine of the Trinity. We need to be united on the very fundamentals of the faith, so that we're standing upon the same foundation. This creates the unity of the church. It unites God's people to stand together in unison for the glorious gospel. And of course, I trust that today the Lord will strengthen you and draw you to stand for Him. If I can be of any personal help to you, feel free to give us a call or go through our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or the call number is 1-800-969-1091. I'll be glad to talk with you personally, one-to-one, and tell you of our church or these marks of a true biblical church. We need discernment. We need to be wise. The Lord Jesus told us to test the spirits to see whether they be of God. No one can just walk into religion blindfold and accept everything they hear. This is an age of religious confusion. It's a time when you need to have the mind of God, and we want to be of help. And I trust that our ministry today will lead you to that discernment, and the Lord will bless His word to you as we deal with the marks of the true church.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free.
To come back to Matthew 16, And the verse 16, which is the confession of Peter, upon which the Lord said he would build his church. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16, verse 16. And Jesus answered and commended Simon for that very statement. And then he interjected with this truth, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." This is not a man learned statement. This is the gift of God. This is grace at work. "But my Father, which is in heaven." And Peter's statement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," was a God-given truth which entered into the heart of Peter. And then the Lord said in verse 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, we have completed our series on cults and various religions over these last weeks, and I hope that it has been a help to many in our congregation. I have endeavored not to give pulpit time to the mere fanciful, erroneous notions of cults, but to take each cult in turn and search the Bible. So I endeavored to make this a profitable time that we might be strengthened in our faith. And I hope that you're a stronger Trinitarian tonight than you were 2 months ago. I hope that you're stronger in the deity of Christ. I hope that you're stronger in the infallibility of the Scriptures. I hope that you know something of how to interpret the Bible. I hope that you know something of what a Christian ought to do when we come into sickness and in need of healing. I hope that you come to how to witness to those that have no grasp of Christianity whatsoever. And I must say I was very blessed through the ministry of Reverend Gangar last week. We've not only learned the erroneous, but I think we have learned how precious this Bible is. If I'm ever thankful for the Bible, it is after weeks of looking into these other false religions. What a gift we have tonight in our hands. It truly is a lamp and a light. It is a deliverance from darkness that the Lord has given to us. I have also learned that there is not another religion like Christianity. In fact, there are many, many reasons why Christianity is unique above all others. Let me add another thing this evening. There is not a body of people in the world like the church of the Lord Jesus. She is the people for whom Christ died and the people in whom the Holy Spirit lives. There is no people like God's redeemed people. And what a blessing to be involved in the people of God in the church of the Lord Jesus. And this we call the true church. When the Lord said, "I will build my church," it wasn't a cathedral he was speaking about and its architecture. He was speaking about gathering his redeemed, building them up in the faith. And we learn three things from this. Firstly, the Lord has a church on earth. And while there is the spurious and the erroneous and the false and the apostate, the Lord has a true church on the earth. Indeed, he has promised he always will. The gates of hell will not prevail. Now, when the Lord spoke about the gates of hell, it was the imaginations, the schemes of Satan will never succeed. The Lord's church will always triumph. The Lord's church is also a Christ-confessing church. It is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus that you and I confess as Christians. We want to stand with Peter when the Lord Jesus said to him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is the whole ministry of the church, to confess, to witness, to bear testimony, to exalt the Lord Jesus in the earth. And that ought to be your passion tonight. And if you're not burdened and passionate about exalting the Lord Jesus, You're in sin. You're living out of the center of God's will. If you've got something more important in your life than exalting the name of the Lord Jesus, you've lost the goal of the Christian. Thirdly, every Christian is to confess Christ by joining themselves to the Lord's visible church. In Ephesians 4, Paul used the analogy of the body, and he talked about the various members of the body serving the head. And you may be a finger, you may be a hand, you may be an arm, a leg, another limb or organ of the body, but every organ has its place, and every organ and limb serves the head. You cannot be an obedient biblical Christian by going it alone. You are a member of Christ's body. In Romans 10, verse 9, we are to confess the Lord Jesus, that He is the Lord God. That's how you're saved, and that is how you live for the Lord Jesus. Now, I wanted to give out some notes on this tonight because time is brief and this is a big subject, and I want to give you the text that you can mull over it and have it for your own record, and especially for those that take notes, that this will not just become a whole race of scribble for you. But I have given out these notes, and here's a comment by a very renowned Presbyterian theologian, A.A. Hodge, on the WCF. And that's not the wildlife people. That's the Westminster Confession of Faith that it stands for. Now, just let's read through this. That every man who hears the gospel is commanded to confess Christ before men. That is, to become a public, visible professor of the true religion. The conditions of salvation laid down in Romans 10, 9 to 10. In some way, every person having the love of Christ in his heart will confess Him. But our confession intends in these sections to teach further that ordinarily, where there is the knowledge and opportunity, God requires that everyone who loves Christ to confess Him in the regular way of joining the community of His people and of taking the sacramental badges of His discipleship. That's communion and baptism. Communion of saints, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And that when providentially possible, every Christian heart will be prompted to obey this matter is self-evident. When shame or fear or persecution is the preventing consideration, then the failure to obey is equivalent to the positive rejection of Christ. Since the rejection of Him will have to be publicly pretended, in such case, in order to avoid the consequences attending upon the public acknowledgement of Him. And so it is the will of God for every saved believer in the Lord Jesus to confess Christ. And we do so by gathering together as members of the body, as His church. Whatever the cost, whatever it is going to mean, whatever hardship, whatever reproach that it will bring in your life, that's the Lord's will for every one of His people. But many, of course, find it very difficult today to find a true Bible gospel church. And that can be a very difficult thing. I have borrowed here from our Sunday school notes that we put out last May that there are three marks of the true church. And those who are looking for a Bible, gospel, Christ-focused church, you need to look for these three things. Number one, the true preaching of God's Word. That's essential. This Bible is the foundation upon which the church is built. We don't believe the other way around. We do not believe that the Bible is based on the church. The church is based on the Bible. And so you need to have a ministry. The number one mark, it is a Bible-based ministry. Secondly, the administration of the sacraments. Now, let me say that some people don't like the word sacraments. They say it's Roman Catholic. Well, I want to assure you tonight that I have no intention of promoting Roman Catholicism. The word sacrament comes from the Latin sacramentum, meaning a badge. It was a military term. And when a military man put on his uniform, it identified him as a soldier of the army of that nation. And of course, the uniform is designed in a manner that it can be recognized afar. When you take the sacraments of the church, which is be baptized, take communion, you are using the two badges that the Lord has given to identify yourself as a Christian, a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, that you are now taking up your cross to follow Him. And it is now incumbent upon every professing Christian to use those badges. If we don't, well, number one, it's disobedience. Secondly, it's cowardly. And thirdly, it is an insult to not use the very badge the King has ordained for those who He has redeemed. The third mark of the true church is the faithful exercise of discipline. There must be order, purity. Purity of doctrine, purity of life. And there has to be some mechanism in the church whereby holiness, Christ-likeness, is promoted and where sin is put away. We call this the shepherding of the church. You come under the care of the church. You place yourselves under the oversight of the church. You become accountable. There are many who say, but I want to be independent. But you see, once you become a Christian, you can never again be independent. You're a member of the body. You're serving the head. And your place is to be in the orderly, functioning witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so it's your responsibility. And I have to say this as a Christian minister, as a Bible teacher tonight, it is your responsibility to seek a Bible preaching, teaching church with those three marks: the Word, the sacraments, discipline, shepherding, caring for souls. Those are the three basic marks of the Christian church. Are you a member of such a church? Are you committed to it? Are you obeying the Lord in going through with Him in serving the Lord in His church? Now, after 9 weeks or so of looking at a number of various cults and religions, I thought it only proper that we come tonight at the close of the series to look at our own denomination. It's always easy to point the finger at others, but always remember that every time you point the finger, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Never forget that. And we have to be able to openly and honestly answer this question. Are we, as Free Presbyterians, is this denomination, is this local church, are we members of the true church of Jesus Christ? If the answer to that is either ambiguous or no, then why are we here? Why would I give my life to a ministry that I am not convinced is truly a proper reflection or a member of the true church of Jesus Christ? So we need to address that and we need to look at it. Now, it's your responsibility to seek the true church and be a member of it. It is the church's responsibility to set out very clearly its distinctives, its standards, and the principles by which it operates. In the Free Presbyterian Church, we have a little handbook. It's called Separated Unto the Gospel. There are a number of terms that we use, and tonight we're going to look at five of them. And in your notes, you will see all five. The first one is biblical, or as the Reformers put it, sola scriptura. The Scriptures alone are the sole rule of authority in the Christian church. And that has to be the basis upon which the church operates. Now, people ask immediately, but what about this Westminster Confession of Faith that you keep talking about as your other book in the church? Well, the Westminster Confession of Faith, which, by the way, is approximately 350 years old, is a substandard of the church. We do not make it equal with the Bible. You remember what we've learned through these weeks? The mark of a cult is to have one book in the right hand and another book in the left. They have two sources of authority. They have a book, or they have a writing, or they have a prophet, and they put them side by side in authority with the Bible. Do we do that in our denomination and church? We have the Bible, but do we elevate the Westminster Confession of Faith to an equal authority? The absolute answer is no. It is a substandard, and we can prove it by one key truth. If you look at the Westminster Confession of Faith, under each paragraph, each section, there is a list of Bible references. And the intent of the authors of the Westminster Confession of Faith is to draw up statements of doctrine that are agreeable with the Word of God, and the verses, the proof texts, are provided so that the reader can see that this statement is found right here in the Bible or there in the Bible. So you can say that the Westminster Confession of Faith is a tool. It is a help. It's a guide to the Christian to instruct us in what is the doctrine on any particular matter. It's also voluntary. It's voluntary to all its members and even to officers and ministers. When I was ordained to the gospel ministry many years ago, no one put a gun to my head and said, "Ian, sign this or we fire." I came to the conviction that this was an accurate statement of Scripture, an accurate presentation of doctrinal truth, and that I could sign it as a statement of my own confession to the Word of God. And I was, of course, pledging my allegiance to uphold those doctrines and those truths that were contained therein. And so, it is a guide and a help. And it is a manner of unifying God's people in the doctrines of the Scriptures. Now, verbal inspiration is applied to the Bible alone. Is the Westminster Confession of Faith verbally inspired? No. Is it infallible? No. It's a work of men. I would plead, and I have done so in our adult Sunday school before now, for the great wisdom, the great care and attention to detail that was given by those committees that authored and provided the Westminster Confession of Faith. It is a masterly, skillful, godly work. Nevertheless, it's the work of men. Only the Bible is absolutely infallible. And so we need to be biblical. Number two, another term that we use to set out the ministry of our church is fundamental. We call ourselves fundamental. Now, in these days of confusion, when you have Islam using the same term, you have many charismatics that might even use this term, it would seem to be almost a confusing term to use. But it is used in this sense. In the early 1900s, in Protestant churches, there was the rise of higher criticism that attacked the gospel, the doctrines of the Bible, the deity of Christ, the godhood of our Lord Jesus, the doctrine of the Trinity, the miracles, the supernatural of the Bible. And these higher critics, they were modernists and liberals, and they were destroying the church. There were a number of men who took on the challenge of doing battle against the modernists, and they pleaded for five fundamentals of the faith. Therefore, they became fundamentalists. They were pleading for five essential doctrines, and they are listed for you right here. They were the inerrancy of the Bible, the literal nature of biblical accounts, of the miracles, creation. Jesus really walked in the water. Noah really built an ark. God really made the world in 6 days. And this was the contention of these fundamentalists. The virgin birth, the bodily resurrection, the substitutionary atonement of Christ on the cross. And initially, as these men went around the country with their gospel campaigns and crusades, they stood for these fundamentals, calling churches and ministers and missionaries and evangelists to subscribe to fundamental Christianity. And in that sense, tonight, I'm a fundamentalist. And the Free Presbyterian Church makes no apology for standing for these essential doctrines of the faith. So we use the term fundamental.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And this message is really the self-examination of our own congregation to ensure that we bear those marks of a true, genuine Christian church. After looking at a number of religions and cults, it is imperative that we consider that our own testimony before God and men, that we reflect the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. The Lord has called us to be worshipers, to assemble ourselves together, to be the flock of God, shepherded by the word of the Lord and by God's servants, and that we might be faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And we are called to this. This is not something that's optional for the Christian, but every Christian should be a member of a true Bible-believing church. And I exhort you as a listener to make sure that you are a part of a biblical ministry. And if you have difficulty, I realize that sometimes it takes a lot of searching and time to find that biblical church, but it is invaluable. You are not to go it alone. In fact, that will lead to ruin, and it may lead to great discouragement. So I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church. If you have questions about the Free Presbyterian Church locally or denomination, feel free to give me a call. And if you would like information on our Free Presbyterian Church, feel free to give me a call, go to our website, and we'll be delighted to answer your questions. So stay tuned with us now for the announcements today. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on the station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.